from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Curtis Samuel, one of the new additions to the Bills receiver room. Really, everybody except for Khalil Shakir is a new addition. Unless you're counting Justin Shorter and Tyrell Shaver, some of the guys that didn't play last year. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's a Friday. It's beautiful out. We're heading into the weekend. Hopefully, you found a way to be off Friday the day after the 4th, but I know not everybody was that lucky. Weekend coming up, though, so we'll have some good weather. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you got a fantasy question you want to get in, Kevin Payne from RotoWire, now on the Wester Hotline. Morning, Kevin. How was your 4th?
Good. I was one of those guys who had today off until I got a text late from you last night saying, hey, do you want to come on the radio this morning?
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, luckily it'll be a very short-lived work day for me, though.
Yes, yeah, we will definitely not keep you long. It's a Fantasy Friday, too, though. Like, we're rolling towards fantasy drafts. Is this too early for you to schedule a draft? Not, like, today, but if someone was having a draft this weekend, would you say, first weekend of July, it's a little soon for me?
So there's two trains of thought here, and I would be fine if somebody wanted to go ahead and draft today. I actually usually do get into a draft early in the season just because I might go ahead and say, why did this guy take this person so high? Why, if we're doing an auction, why did they bid the extra few dollars on this guy? And go back and kind of do some research before we kind of get into the draft season, which is really going to start heating up, obviously, next month. So I don't mind doing them that early. This also, if you do them this early, it kind of rewards the person who's been doing their homework and paying attention and crunching some numbers during the off season. So I see the argument for having an early draft there as well. But again, I think it's a good way to take advantage of something you might have missed in your analysis of some of these players this off season. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely do a draft this weekend. But I think that for the most part, people want to go ahead and hold them in August, mid to late August, just because then you go ahead and you know who's hurt. There's the inevitable injury. A guy's going to be out for the season. So if you took him now and you wasted, top 3-round pick on him, then you're going to be like, oh, great, now I don't have this guy. And it looked like a good pick last month, but now. So I think that most people prefer going ahead and doing those August drafts.
I agree with that. You also get, the injuries are probably the biggest reason. You also get, though, like all the information we get during training camp. Sometimes I don't know, though, whether that helps or hurts me, because so much of the training camp information you see out there, I mean, everybody's in the best shape of their life. Everybody can play every single position. Everybody's going to have the best year of their career. But there are clues I feel like you could parse through to figure out, like, okay, this might be real. But this was was it Pacheco a couple years ago where he started coming on in camp? And that's when his name really, you know, started to emerge for the first time. And I remember throwing a flyer on him late just based off training camp blurbs, and that worked. It's tough, though, right, Kevin? Because, you know, a lot of that, too, I feel like is BS.
It is. And one of the phrases we like to use at RotoWire is it's tough to read the tea leaves and try to figure things out. I also think that it goes almost on a team-by-team basis, and you do have some history where a coach might say something, and you might believe a given coach based upon their, you know, what they've said in the past, and it's turned out to come to fruition and been accurate, as opposed to some guys who, you know, are blowing up their players, and then all of a sudden the regular season comes and it's a completely different story. So I think you could take a look at those two narratives as well. But personally, yeah, the advantage of having the August drafts is you're watching the preseason games, which I think become more and more meaningless as the years have gone on. But you're also finding out all this information, all these tidbits, especially with these days with social media, which you didn't have even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You're finding out all from these beat writers who are right there on the field, hey, this is what I saw today. And at least you're getting an opinion, you're getting information, and then you can go ahead and try to siphon through as to what you think is actually something that you could go ahead and put stock in, or something that you just go ahead and let it pass.
Yep. Kevin Payne at KCPayne26 on Twitter, RotoWire. So what about the Bills for that? Like, what do you expect training camp to sound like and feel like for them? Specifically, I mean, receiver, right, is going to be a whole training camp of figuring out who's the right one to draft. I know it's early, but I was looking at some average draft position stuff today, Kevin, and right now Coleman is going in the 9th round, Samuel the 10th, Shakir the 11th. So, like, they're all pretty close. Let's start there. Before camp even happens, is there one of those three that you would find yourself more likely to take before camp has got going?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Keon Coleman, just because I think he's got the greatest upside. We see with these rookie receivers, it's been years now that they come in more ready to play the professional game that they have 10, 20 years ago. These guys are ready because they run the same style of offenses in college. And I really think that Keon Coleman just has such a great ceiling that he would be the guy that I would take a chance on. Now, that being said, as far as looking at a lot of different writers that I respect in the industry and everybody else, they are really high on Shakir. Everybody's kind of listing him as their sleeper. And obviously, as you said, when you're looking at those late rounds, any three of those guys can be a great value. So Shakir has kind of been the guy, the buzzy guy, as far as the fantasy community goes. I think just based upon the fact that he knows the offense, he had production at the professional level last year. For me, it's Coleman. And I look at Curtis Samuel. One thing I do hope this year, just looking at some of his past stats, is that they go ahead and use him a little bit more in the running game. For some reason, Washington got away from that last year, and he saw his carries take a huge dip. I think it was from 38 the prior season to only 7 last year. So I think there's a huge opportunity. I just don't know that we're going to see consistency out of Samuel. I think that once the bye weeks hit, then maybe he might go ahead and have some value, because you might need to go ahead and plug a guy like him in and try to look for that home run, which I think, you know, on any given Sunday, he could get you 3 catches or 4 touches for 80 to 100 yards and a score, getting a long one. But I think that for me, it's going to be Coleman over Shakir. But again, Shakir seems to be the buzzy guy in the fantasy community.
Yeah. The reason I like Shakir too, especially for, it depends what you want. He playing out of the slot primarily, like, I don't think of him as having the same upside, like you mentioned with Coleman, just because of touchdowns, right? Like, I really think a lot, Kevin, about this Bills offense, that whoever really succeeds in taking a shot at the Bills offense, it might just come down to figuring out where the touchdowns are going to go, because Allen had 15 last year rushing, and that just feels unsustainably high. But if that does come down, and maybe his passing touchdowns go up, like, where will those go? Because even in the run game, James Cook's not a big touchdown guy, or hasn't been. Kincaid wasn't in year one, but maybe he will be. Coleman, you might think, his profile speaks to that. even Ray Davis. Like, I feel like the touchdowns is going to be really hard to predict for the Bills this summer.
Yeah, and you know, Dawson Knox is always going to sneak in.
Dawson Knox, right.
Yeah, even though he's not going to get a ton of targets, he's not going to get the targets Kincaid is. But I'm glad you brought up Kincaid because he was kind of the guy. I mean, he could be the guy that leads this team in receiving yards, which is kind of crazy considering that he's a tight end. But he has that type of upside, and I think that he's going to take a step forward and have a few of those touchdowns. But I still think I can see Allen rushing for 10 to 12 touchdowns, something around 10 double digits easily. So I don't know how much that number comes down, but I think just looking at the size and being a big red zone target, again, going back to Keon Coleman, that's kind of why I like him a little bit more than Shakir. And not that Shakir, I would like when you watch Shakir play, I think just because sometimes he doesn't have the weight, he looks smaller than he is, but he's still 6 foot, 190 something. So he does have some size to him, but I think that it's Coleman and Kincaid that we can expect to get most of the red zone looks. And Kincaid, as far as tight ends go, he might be the guy who has the best value, taking him kind of in the middle rounds once those elite tight ends are coming off the board. Definitely, based upon where they're going in drafts, I think Kelsey's going like in the second round. I would rather have Kincaid going much later. I would take him in a heartbeat based upon his upside over an aging Travis Kelce.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Second round. I think it's going to be a better value.
All right. Yeah, he's going Kincaid right now. Middle of the fourth round is his, at least at Fantasy Pros, that's his draft position, which is tight end 5. Is that appropriate for him? Is that high? Is that low? Like, where do you think that should that go up, I guess, as the season goes on, or as the offseason goes on?
Yeah, and I think on our site we've got him even lower than that. I think we've got his ADP going 5th or 6th round. So I think he's a great value there. And we actually have him ranked as a 7th tight end, which I think is way too low. I think that the upside is there for him to get 68 touchdowns, 800-plus receiving yards. And for a tight end, if you can get that type of production out of them, that's absolutely fantastic. And I think that this is the reason why the Bills didn't go out and try to get a big name in free agency, is because they knew they had two adequate, very good tight ends, I should say, possibly the best tandem in the league between him and Knox. And the fact of the matter is, Kincaid, I expect an uptick in touchdowns from him. So I really think that he's going to be a great value. I think he's got easily the upside to finish top 3, I want to say. Kelsey's still going to be there. You got to look at Kyle Pitts now has Kirk Cousins throwing to him. So finally, maybe his upside that we've been talking about for years comes around. But I got to think that Kincaid's got to be in the conversation as a guy who could possibly finish in the top 3-4 amongst tight ends.
Kevin Payne, RotoWire on the Western Hotline. The last Bill I wanted to ask you about at running back, James Cook. They didn't really. I mean, they bring in Ray Davis, so middle of the draft rookie. They ran it more with him at the end of the year. He finishes RB11 last year, and that's I think around where he's being picked. That was in PPR. He finished 11th. Is he someone you would be targeting? I don't know what to do with him just because I feel like touchdowns are. Could he have four again? Could he have eight? Like I guess I feel like he's going to be at least getting a workload. It's just, I guess, how high is the ceiling?
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guy that I would target. The problem is this. If you're doing a draft here in Buffalo, you're going to pay the Buffalo tax on him. He's going to go much higher than, you know, sometimes when I do these drafts, I do them with the people who are across the country. And as I said, the one nice thing about doing something like that is somebody that's in California might have a better grip as to what's going on with the Chargers, which may make me go back and reassess if they take somebody really high. Might be the same thing if I go ahead and take James Cook really high, which I probably would do in more of a national draft, just because I think it's like inevitable that if he gets all those carries, there's no way he only gets two rushing touchdowns this year. We know he's going to go ahead and be productive through the air as well. Everybody these days plays in some sort of PPR league, even if it's only 0.5 PPR league, which adds a little bit more value to him. But I got to think that you're looking at least double-digit touchdowns from James Cook this year. Mm. So outside of the Western New York area, where, as I said, you're going to kind of pay that Bills tax where all these players are going to go a little bit higher in redraft leagues, if I was doing a national draft, James Cook was definitely somebody that I would go ahead and look to target, especially if you go ahead and go wide receiver early. I mean, I have no problem in a draft going wide receiver, just based upon how valuable they are, especially in PPR leagues. And then Cook would be the type of guy that I would take a look at in those like early middle rounds.
Yeah, it is right pointing out, like, so he had four receiving touchdowns last year. So his total was six. And there were at least three touchdowns that he just dropped. Like, they were right there. The Cowboy game, there was one. There was one against the Eagles. And there's definitely another one that I'm missing, too. So he could have had nine pretty easily, I think, last year total. Last thing for you, Kevin, on fantasy. Is there, putting you on the spot a little bit, between now and the start of the season, for how many drafts you do, is there a guy in your mind that comes to mind, like, that you're going to end up with the most? Like, what player in the league would you guess I'm going to have the most of?
Marvin Harrison Jr. And I know we just did our hometown draft, and I took him with the first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking at everything that he has, and it's going to cost, I'm hoping that he's, like, sitting there in the late second round. But you're talking about a guy, number one, who's super talented. I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg with him. I think that people are going to be very hesitant to take a rookie as early as the second round, even if it's late second round. But if you look at that receiving core, I mean, they really do not have a lot there in Arizona. It would not surprise me at all. And you look at like a guy like Malik Nabers. I think he's super talented, could be just as good as Marvin Harrison. But the landing spot with the Giants, I don't think was quite as good, just considering you've got Darius Slayton, you've got Wandale Robinson. Whereas you look at the guys that the Cardinals, he's got to compete with the Cardinals, Michael Wilson. Zay Jones is pretty good, don't get me wrong. Greg Dortch, he might have a little upside, but these guys seem to have gotten chances in the past and not been able to do much. It would not surprise me at least 25% of the targets go Marvin Harrison's way. And I'm thinking maybe even as much as 30 to 33%, which is a huge, huge number. So I think that I'm going to end up with a lot of Marvin Harrison. We always see these rookies break out each year. And I mean, this guy is just as elite as they come. Great landing spot for him, plus the talent. So I think I'm going to end up with a lot of him. The other guy I would take a look at, too, that I really like, Zamir White for the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm. I really think that with the starting role, he's a guy you can get in the seventh or eighth round. Again, type of guy if you're looking for a flex spot or if you wait on running back. I mean, Alexander Mattison, we know what he is. He hasn't averaged more than 4 yards a carry in any of his last three seasons. He's not a starter. Josh Jacobs is now a Green Bay Packer. I just don't see why this guy's going to get a ton of work, and I really think he could be a great value, as he said, if he's still sitting there in the seventh or eighth round.
All right. It's 9:47 on Friday, Kevin, and Greg Berhalter is still the United States men's national team manager. How in the world? How in the world?
And I'm watching the Ecuador game. They somehow push Argentina, World Cup champions, to a shootout. The poor coach is already fired. Like, they didn't even wait. And
right.
He got
Ecuador.
His team, yeah, and just got his team there, and they just hired him, too. So fire this poor guy, and Berhalter still has a job. I don't know how. I almost wonder if they're making sure they've got somebody in place first before they go ahead and fire him. That could be the only explanation. I've also seen that money might be playing a factor because they might have to go ahead and pay him a ton of money. He could sue them. So at this point, I don't know. I just hope within the next few weeks they get this resolved.
Matt, I hope you're right. It just hasn't. The only reason it hasn't happened yet is because they're courting someone and they're trying to get it done before. So we'll see. Appreciate it, Kevin. We'll talk soon. At KCPayne26. Check out his stuff on RotoWire, especially fantasy football season starts rolling here. Thanks, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
All right, time out here. Extendo Sports on the way back. Wimbledon going on right now, and there's a really good match, actually. Carlos Alcaraz, who is, I think, the best watch in tennis right now, at least on the men's side, is the best watch in tennis. He is getting pushed here. It's the third round. Josh, do you know how to pronounce the guy's name he's playing? American? Is it Tiafoe?
Tiafoe.
Okay. He ranked 29th. He won the first set, and he's down 2-1 in games, but has advantage right now on the point. So Alcaraz, who won, did he win Wimbledon last year? I think he won Wimbledon last year, or was it the U.S. Open? Either way, won a major last year, young guy. I think he's the best watch in tennis, and he's getting pushed right now. That's on ESPN. Extendo Sports, when we come back, then we'll get you off to the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.